Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is down there in Studio X. He's got both hands on the wheel, 10-2, and he's going to make sure we park this car in about an hour. After we've talked some Mississippi State sports, if you want to talk with me, the number is 601-879-4395. That is the C Spire text line. It is open to you on a Wednesday evening. Let's talk some Bulldog sports. Plenty to talk about here. This is that time of year. You know, basketball just ended, but there's still plenty of transfer portal stuff to talk about. Football going on, spring football. But baseball is where we've got to start tonight. And if we go back to the start of, or even before the season started, I was very clear that, you know, a year ago, I missed big on my prediction for Mississippi State baseball. I thought they would not be good. I thought they would miss the postseason. And I missed big on that. No getting around that fact. So I wanted to hold my thoughts on this year's team as long as I possibly could. I wanted to see as much baseball as I could. And now, you know, you're talking about being 30 games into the season. It feels pretty evident what this team is, and more importantly, what this team isn't. And what this team isn't is a team that's going to be a factor in the Southeastern Conference this year. And they are a team that is going to be extremely lucky if they make it to the NCAA tournament this year. They are 1-8 in SEC play, and that is a situation where they've put themselves into. They it's going to be very difficult to dig out of. It starts this weekend with South Carolina. And a series loss in this one, and we can put to bed any thoughts of Mississippi State in the postseason, at my point. You know, a series loss, and let's just say they win one. If they're 2-10 on Monday morning, we are done having the Mississippi State could make the regional conversation. At least on this podcast, or at least on this radio show, on my podcast, on Sports Talk Mississippi, I'm out of that discussion. I won't be having it. And when you watch State play, and when you watch, you know, the way they've played this season, how can you have confidence in them? I mean, they're playing a bad South Carolina team. Let's just get that out there. This is not a good team. Paul Menary's first year with the Gamecocks has not, you know, been a very successful one to this point. They're 1-8 in the conference, just like Mississippi State is. And much like Mississippi State, that one win was against the University of Oklahoma. Swept by Arkansas the weekend after that, and then last weekend played the number one team in the nation in Tennessee and swept by them. So now they come to Starkville in that same desperation that Mississippi State's in. I just don't have a ton of confidence in this team. And you know, it's at that point where we have to talk realistically about what happens at the end of the season if this team misses the postseason for the third time in 4 years. And they don't host for a fourth straight season. But at this point, hosting is done. We can that is a dead debate. We don't have to talk about that anymore. We can still talk about the postseason, but we're running out of time. The sands are going through the hourglass. And if that's the case, guys, how can we look at Mississippi State baseball with the fan support and the financial support and the tradition and the history and everything we know about Mississippi State baseball? How can we look at it and say, yeah, what's happened these last 4 years is completely acceptable, and we're going to give Chris Lemonis a fifth year after a national title. How can we do that? If you can explain it to me, I would love to know. Because I've seen people say it. I've seen people say, oh, he's not in any trouble. He's not. His job is not going to be called into question. How is that possible? How is it possible to? I mean, you win a national title, you don't get to be coach for life. All right. Is Ed Orgeron still at LSU? Is Gene Chizik still at Auburn? No. They're not. Is Paul Maneri still at LSU? No. No. You don't get to just be coach for life because you win a national title. If anything, winning a national title means you've got to stay at that standard. You've got to continue to play at that level. You've got to continue to be an elite program. And instead, since that day where Mississippi State walked off the field with the trophy in Omaha, the program has reached new lows. Back-to-back years, not even making the SEC tournament. And you'll make it this year because everybody makes it. They're sending all 16 teams. Otherwise, you'd be in trouble. How is that what we're willing to accept from Mississippi State baseball? How is that what you're willing to look at this program and go, that's okay, I can live with those results? And at the same time, try to convince me that Mississippi State is an elite program. No elite program accepts the results State's gotten in the last 3 years. Not one. So certainly not a program that just won a national title. Imagine if Kirby Smart had won the national title at Georgia and then followed it up with 3-9. He'd be gone. He might not have gotten the second 3-9. It's just not plausible. So for you to tell me, if you're a person who believes that there's no chance that they'll make a change at the end of this season, then that's fine. If Mississippi State doesn't make a change, that's fine. But at that point, we will stop having this is one of the best programs in the country discussion. They would just be a program. They have a big stadium, big, beautiful stadium, and they'll continue to put people in there because people love to come to Mississippi State baseball games. But we are not going to have this discussion that we're going to put State in the top 10 programs in America. No chance. You cannot miss the postseason. When's the last time that happened? When's the last time prior to Ron Polk being at Mississippi State that the Bulldogs missed 3 out of 4 regionals? Does anybody know? I will tell you this. So from 93 to 96 is the last time State didn't host or have a super regional. Now, super regionals didn't exist in that time frame. That was back when you only had 8 teams hosting. So, now we're talking about you can't be one of the top 16 teams in college baseball. I mean, that's rough. Couldn't they get hot? Yeah, they could. But what have I seen from them to make me think they could? They're 1-8. Why do I think they're just all of a sudden going to take every series for the rest of the way? They're going to beat Auburn, who's pretty good this year, and Florida, who's going to be super desperate when they play Mississippi State, and Ole Miss, who's much better than anybody thought, and Alabama, who's really, really good. You're going to win those series? Why? Why would I think that? I don't think that. Ole Miss did it in 2021. Well, first off, you're thinking of 2022. They were not 1-8 at this point. They were not. Also, at that point, the year before, Ole Miss had been really, really good. Hosted a regional in 2021. Mississippi State is looking at 4 straight years of not hosting. How is that acceptable? In a $70 million baseball stadium, how can we look at it and go, yes, we're cool not hosting postseason baseball? Explain. I mean, make me understand it. I can't. I can't understand it. I cannot be the one to tell you that makes a lick of sense to me. So, going back to Polk, from the time he was there, his first tenure, never missed more than one tournament before getting back in. Pat McMahon never missed the tournament. Polk, second time around, missed the tournament his first year, then made it every year until his last year, when the things kind of fell apart. Cohen misses it his first 2 years, makes it 3 straight, misses it in 15, and then his last year as the head coach makes the NCAA tournament. 16-21, super regional, college world series, national champions. That is Mississippi State baseball, not what we're seeing right now. Not what we're seeing right this second. That's not going to work for us. I don't know how you can sit here and tell me that you thought Mississippi State could be like this in 2021. When they won that national title, I think we all thought this program's about to take off. They're about to be one of the best programs in the country. Instead, they've fallen completely apart. And like I said, right now, it's not looking the way you want it to look at all. And we'll see. Ole Miss in their first nine games in 2022 was 4-5. Teams 1-8. Pretty rough. Pretty rough. Let's talk some basketball when we come back. Transfer portal action. And Jans, I know the Texas A&M thing. I want to talk about that and put you guys' fears at ease on that. And Josh Hubbard. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Glad to see you guys chiming in on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Glad to see you guys agreeing with me. And I don't want to live in an echo chamber. I don't want to, you know, be a guy who just hears what I want to hear. But it makes me happy to know that the listeners of this program are saying, yeah, this is not an acceptable for by and large. There are some of you, I don't know that you're saying it's acceptable. You're just saying that, hey, there's still a chance that they could turn it around. And I will absolutely agree with that. There is a chance. Their schedule is not, they've played Texas and LSU already, right? They don't play Arkansas. They don't play Tennessee. They don't play Georgia. That's three of the top four teams in the country. They don't play those teams. They don't play Vanderbilt, who's pretty good. They, you know, A&M, I know, is talented. I don't know if it's ever going to work out for them, but they don't play them. You know, they still have to play Florida. They got to play Ole Miss. They got to play Auburn. They got to play Kentucky, play Alabama. That's tough. Ole Miss is tough. Auburn is tough. They get Missouri at the end. The schedule is lighter, but when you're 1-8, this is something I remember having this discussion a lot with, I guess it was last year with Richard, talking about, you know, Ole Miss, their schedule gets lighter. And I'm just like, guys, you're the second worst team in the conference. When you talk about your schedule getting lighter, that's what other teams are saying about you. You know, right now, South Carolina is going, okay, we've played Georgia and Arkansas and Oklahoma, but now we get to play Mississippi State. It's a little bit easier. All right, that's what other teams are saying. Missouri's looking at the end of the year going, well, we get State in here, maybe we have a chance to win some games. Because you're 1-8. So when you say the schedule gets lighter, you got to be a good team to do that. So there it is. I do not believe Mississippi State baseball is an elite baseball program anymore. They have to act like it. I mean, they have the foundation of the elite program, right? They have the support. They have the fans. They have the money. The NIL is not in question here. You got the facilities, some of the best in college baseball. But you don't have the team right now. What's going to get me is this, and I'm almost positive it's going to happen, and if they make a change and they get the right coach in here, immediately State will be back to winning big. Immediately. That's what I believe. So let's talk basketball. News today, Riley Kugel had entered the transfer portal. So you look at State's, like, their starting lineup, right? Melendez and Cam Matthews both out of eligibility. Nwoko already found a new home. He'll be at LSU next year. He entered the transfer portal and was not in for very long. And now Riley Kugel into the portal. So what does that leave you? It leaves you Josh Hubbard as a starter. But Keyshawn Murphy is a guy who played a ton of minutes, played more minutes than Nwoko did. That's your nucleus to build around for next season. You're bringing in some talented true freshmen, but the transfer portal beckons for Mississippi State. Probably need to sign six, maybe seven guys out of there. Starting point guard, couple of forwards, you know, a couple of wings, guys who can space. But the main thing for me for State is they got to get back to Chris Jans' style of the first 2 years at Mississippi State. I feel like Jans made this conscious effort last year to go be better offensively. And the thought process being, they may not be as good defensively, but we'll be better offensively and it'll balance itself out. And in some ways, he was right. They were better offensively last season. But I'm trying to say this. But they were so much worse defensively that it didn't matter. And that's why they weren't as good as they should have been. They were so much worse defensively. There's no way Jans could have predicted that, right? Melendez was a plus defender at Georgia last year, but he struggled this year. Claudel Harris and Riley Kugel just were non-factors defensively for you. And you think about trying to replace DJ Jeffries and Shaq Moore and Rams Davis and how good those guys were defensively, and you didn't do it. And that's why your team didn't take a step forward. You were basically the same team. So this year, I think when you look at the portal, yeah, you would like to, you want to get scorers in here. You need to get some guys who can space and do that. You definitely need to get a point guard to take that burden off of Josh Hubbard so he can go back to his natural position. But you got to find guys who are dogs defensively. I think that's got to be your first order of business. Now, I saw that Hubbard put out a graphic yesterday. He's going to enter the NBA draft or at least get his evaluation then. I'll just go ahead and tell you that that evaluation will come back, go back to school. And I said this last week on the show, and some of y'all wanted to argue with me, but if you can find me a shooting guard, not a point guard, a shooting guard under 6 feet in the NBA right now, I need to know who it is. I mean, Hubbard is a really good shooter. He's not Steph Curry, who's a smaller guard. But to not to be a point, to be a two in the league and be 5'10", it's unheard of. So, unless he's going to go through another growth spurt here, I expect him back at Mississippi State. And that's great. He'll make a ton of money in NIL. He'll make good cash next year. And he'll continue to set records at Mississippi State and be the lead dog on what should be another tournament team. I know Mississippi State fans, I understand the frustration. It's one of those things where two things can be true at the same time. Chris Jans has done a great job. He's built this program back up. It's now a year-in, year-out contender for the NCAA tournament. That's a good thing. But you can be frustrated they haven't gone further. You can absolutely be frustrated in that. And you hope that next year is that year. I think with Hubbard and Murphy to build around, you've got players who are attractive to other players. Guys want to play with Hubbard. I firmly believe that. I think that was a big reason why, for State, it didn't work out with Kugel and Harris and Melendez, but those guys were quality adds at the time you added them. Harris was a 35% plus shooter from three at Boston College. There was no reason to think he would take the step back that he did. Kugel was listed as a potential NBA guy. It just didn't work out. He was just inconsistent. But there's no reason not to take those guys, and I think the ability to sell Josh Hubbard as a recruiting piece is a big part of that for Jans. And then I really liked Murphy. I thought he took a huge step forward this year, and I think next year he's going to be one of the best big men in the conference. He'll be a guy who's close to averaging a double-double. And, he provides a lot of offensive firepower for you. He's a good defender. He's tough. And the mental toughness especially. That's a guy who was, he had a foot out the door as a sophomore. He was looking to go, and he bought back into what Jans was selling him, and he had his best year last year, and this upcoming year he should be a fantastic player. Is he an NBA guy? I don't know the answer to that. It's something I've talked about with Tolu Smith a lot. If today's NBA, and I know a lot of you guys aren't big NBA guys. Today's NBA, if you can't shoot from outside, it's tough to find a spot for you because the bigs shoot from outside in the NBA. There's not a lot of these back-to-the-basket guys. 20 years ago, Tolu Smith would have been a first-round pick. Would have fit right into that NBA. Keyshawn Murphy would as well. I don't know unless he... But that's the thing. You say unless he gets better as an outside shooter. But you don't want him to do that. You want him to stay down low. Get your points down there in the paint where we know what we're getting with you. So... George, I thought Hubbard declared for the NBA. He declared for the NBA, but he is maintaining his eligibility. He's just getting he's going to get an evaluation from the NBA, and that's just going to say you need to go back to school. You're not going to get picked. Did the SEC do enough to justify the number of bids they got this year, or will there be fatigue next year? and will that hurt the number of SEC bids? I mean, they had seven of the Sweet 16, and they got two in the Final Four, and had, what, four of the Elite Eight? Yeah, they did fine. I don't see how anybody can argue that the SEC wasn't properly rated as a basketball conference. So, we own Ole Miss in baseball. Well, that's great. What happened last year in Oxford? They took two out of three. I mean, even if you win that series, great, but you got to win the other seven series. Or at least six of them. So that's one. Great. What about the other six? What's going to happen there? What are we talking about here? That's irrelevant. So, but yeah, I would be beyond surprised. I can't stress enough. I can't put enough O's in beyond surprised if Josh Hubbard was doing anything but playing basketball for Mississippi State next year. I've seen a lot of people are like, he's going to go to Kentucky or he's going to go to Ole Miss. He didn't enter the transfer portal. And he didn't declare for the draft and enter the portal. He declared for the draft while keeping his eligibility at Mississippi State. Going nowhere. Going nowhere. He'll be in Starkville next year. I am interested to see who's Jans gets out of the portal. And you know, Jans has got to know, you know, these past couple years he's missed on these evaluations. This is three straight years where a player he signed out of the portal left the team before the season ended. And then last year, like I said, Kugel and Harris, and to a lesser degree, Melendez. Melendez wasn't as good offensively as I hoped he would be. I didn't expect him to be a 15 to 16 point per game guy. I just thought he'd be a little bit more consistent, but he wasn't. So Jans has got to evaluate a little bit better. Again, it's one of those two things can be true. He's had success getting guys in, but he's missed on some evaluations. Need to tighten that up a little bit. But that's the coach on campus I have the most faith in is Chris Jans. I don't worry about him. I feel like that team they'll be right back in the tournament next season, and it's just going to be about finding a way to win a game, which I believe they will do. I believe you keep knocking on that door, eventually somebody will let you in. All right, third segment. Third sport. Let's talk spring football when we come back. Mississippi State, about midway through the process, 2 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away from the spring game. What are we going to see on the Ed Davis Wade Stadium this year? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning. On Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
That's right, Rhino. I am dangerous. Rest in peace, Val Kilmer. Man, that one was a tough blow. That guy's been in some great movies. Rhino, Borky had never seen Heat. Have you seen Heat?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's a movie every guy should see at least once. I think it's still on Netflix. He should watch that. That's a fantastic. That's one of that may be the best robbery movie ever. It is so good. Like, the cast is unbelievable, and Kilmer's right there throwing punches with the Titans in that movie. And that's a movie, you know, I haven't read Heat 2. I need to read it because it's what happens to Chris Kilmer's character. And I wonder who will play him when they eventually make that into a movie, which I'm sure they will. But, yeah, Val Kilmer, Iceman. I mean, if you talk about, like, a Mount Rushmore kind of thing, I know we're not supposed to do those here on Super Talk, but of the characters he played, getting to play Jim Morrison, Batman, Doc Holliday, and I know he's not a fictional character, but Iceman. That's a pretty good top four. And I didn't even put Chris from Heat in there. That's a pretty good top four. Obviously there's going to be some. You know, Al Pacino, his would be better. De Niro's would be better, but pretty good.
He was great in even his lesser movies, like The Ghost in the Darkness and The Saint.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all those 80s cheesy comedies he was in.
Just a really good actor and just believable. I mean, being Batman is about, you know, do I believe this guy could be Batman? I thought Val Kilmer was outstanding in Batman Forever. Really, really good. So Rest in peace. Great actor. And the world's a little less today for not having Val Kilmer in it. All right. Mississippi State football. Spring practice. So the spring game is on the 19th, so we're 17 days away from... Did I have that right? Is the 19th a Saturday? It is. I got it right. So, you know, when I talk about this team, I can't stress enough how little we're going to know about this team until we get into the first game. And that first game is going to tell us an awful lot. It's going to tell us basically everything we need to know. All right, Mississippi State playing Southern Mississippi. And again, I don't want to hear it from the Southern Miss fans. I don't. But you know as well as I do that an SEC team versus a Sun Belt team should end with an easy SEC victory. State was bad in 2023. That was not a good Mississippi State team. They won that game handily against Southern Miss in Starkville. It was. They had some moments early, but State pulled away and made it look respectable. Made it very easy. So if you're talking about State going down to Hattiesburg week one, and that game's close in the fourth quarter, and you got to kind of struggle to get it over the line, that's not a good sign for the Bulldogs. They need to go down there and beat Southern Mississippi the way you would expect an SEC team to beat a Sun Belt team. They need to win by 20-plus points. And when I say 20-plus points, I don't mean you score a late touchdown to make it that. I mean you're in control of the game throughout. So the question becomes, what can we glean from spring practice outside of maybe getting an idea of where the starting lineup is, some of your rotations as far as the receiver position goes? And there's just not a lot, you know. My fear is the same thing that, you know, when you have a bad defense and then you go into spring practice and the offense looks really good, you can't sit there and pin that on, well, they're obviously very good offensively, because what are you talking about? They were bad defensively a season ago, and if they're not looking good this year, that's where I'm going to be focused. And the defense is 100% of my focus right now. I offensively, I have so few concerns about that side of the ball. I just don't worry about it. Somebody asked about, what about State versus the SEC versus the MAC? State versus the MAC. Yeah. See what happens. And that game was a telltale. They played poorly. They lost. What was the rest of the season like? They were 2-10. So if they go down there and do that again, I feel like pretty confident they'll be 2-10 again. Simple as that. It's not an insult. It's telling you. If this doesn't happen, that team's not any good. Simple as that. So, for me, I talked to a guy who had never seen Tombstone today. Goodness, how is that even possible? For me, defensively, I just don't know about them as far as, do they have a, who's the star on this defense? I would say Isaac Smith, but there's a lot of talk coming out of spring practice. They've moved him to linebacker, so that immediately, that's a concern. You took your best player and you moved him. I mean, you have to hope that works out. It reminds me a lot of in 2001, State. You know, Mario Hagan had been an all-SEC middle linebacker. They moved him to the outside, and he just wasn't the same player. And the guy they replaced him with, T.J. Mawini, no offense to him, but it wasn't good enough. Certainly wasn't as good as Hagan was. So that concerns me. I think they have SEC talent on the roster now. Last year, I mean, let's just be honest. There were some guys out there playing last year that had no business playing. None. And they were getting meaningful reps on defense. This year, this time around, I feel at least like they've got some guys who can play at every station. Defensive line, linebacker. And in the secondary. Now, the cornerback position, it will be a worry. It's just going to be a worry. I don't foresee them in the post-spring portal window getting a difference maker there. Just seems unlikely to me. They might. They could. But do I think they will? No. And so that's going to be an issue. You really need Dwight Lewis, the cornerback from the NAIA school, to be a diamond in the rough. You need Kelly Jones to take a big step forward as your only returning guy. You need one of those JUCO kids to maybe be that guy. If they can do that, then they have a chance. They can't. It's going to be another long year. And, you know, we'll be back here having some of the same discussions we had a season ago at the end of the year. We'll be talking about Hutzler again. We'll be talking about does he need to be, you know, I can't imagine he would get two subpar years in a row to get a third year to come back to. So I don't know. I don't feel bad for Lebby. Man's making $4.5 million a year. I'm not gonna feel bad for him, but in this day and age of college football, where you can turn around things quickly, at the same time, it's difficult to turn things around when you don't have as much to sell. And I don't mean that from a NIL perspective, right? State certainly has the money. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are you selling these guys on? You're not a program right now that's going to be winning big games, playing in the playoff, getting a lot of. You get the requisite amount of exposure. If State had great players, scouts would see them. But we're talking about, like, nobody's talking about Mississippi State football outside of people here in Mississippi and, you know, regionally. Mississippi State football is not the lead topic on any college football podcast that you're going to listen to outside of Thunder and Lightning, which, you know, you should be listening to. So, Lebby is in a situation where, yeah, he could go out and get the players and turn things around quickly, but that's a tough sell. In some ways, it's you're actually having to recruit pre-NIL ways, right? Because everybody's got money. You can offer plenty of money. So what state has to do in some situations, they have to overpay a bit. And it's good news. They have the money to overpay. But there are some guys that, you know, might have been willing to play elsewhere for X, so you have to offer them Y. And Y is X plus whatever. And if that's what you got to do to get players on the roster and get guys in here you feel can help win your football games, well, it's a good thing you have the money. I've heard, you know, the talking out of both sides of their mouth from a lot of rival fans is that people say, oh, State doesn't have any money in NIL. They don't have any cash. They're poor. And then in the same sentence, they'll be like, oh, they had to overpay so bad to get this guy. Which is it? Did they overpay or they not have any money? You tell me. Money's not an issue for State right now. The NIL coffers are nice and full. The issue is, what are you selling these guys to get them in? Now, again, I brought this up on the show on Sports Talk Mississippi. Lebby went 2-10 and then put together a top 25 recruiting class. That is doing something. That gives you an idea that he's obviously a pretty good recruiter. I think he's got good recruiters on his staff. I think Anthony Tucker's done a fantastic job. Chad Bumpus has done a good job in recruiting. And I really like the early returns on Phil Loadholt, the new offensive line coach. Now, he's got to go out and get some more guys, but so far so good with him. But State, this year, it needs to be about, you know, selling a little bit more. I think back this year, the best case scenario for me, for State, and not that 5-7 would be the best case, but Mullen's first year, could you replicate that? Could year two of Lebby be what year one of Mullen was? Because year one of Mullen, he did not inherit as bad a situation as Lebby did. So he was allowed to be a little bit ahead. So we'll see. A 5-7 year, I don't think, I mean, I'm not going to say they would be favored in the Egg Bowl, but to find a way would be really, really good for Jeff Lebby. But even to go 5-7 would be huge for Mississippi State when you look at this schedule and we look at what this roster is. It would give you some real solid, tangible hope for the future. All right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
You already.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
All right, let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday night. I believe Rhino just hit the blinker, so we'll start turning into our parking spot here on Thunder and Lightning. Appreciate you guys joining me. Really active night tonight on the C-Spire text line, 601-879-4395. How long can you overpay? Eventually the well runs dry, especially if you don't produce. I mean, you're right. You're correct. It's one of those darned if you do, darned if you don't things. You know, it's like you feel like, hey, I'm tired of putting money into this football program because they don't ever win. Well, they're not ever going to win if you don't put money into the football program. So it's a really tough situation that college athletics have put fans into right now. If one thing I will agree, we talk about NIL. I believe players should get paid for their name, image, and likeness. And I'll be honest with you, I think they should get paid to play football. That doesn't bother me in the least that a football player gets paid money. Could not care less. But it should not be the fans doing that. It should be the schools doing that. Schools that make hundreds of millions of dollars a year in TV contracts and concessions and ticket sales. That's the ones you should be paying, not you guys. Not at all. So it's a tough spot for schools, for fans right now. Somebody says, talk about baseball. It seems to me that for a state to claim their rightful place as the premier baseball program in the nation, they must break the bank and pay a coach the highest salary in the nation. Pay what it takes to get the number one guy. The number one guy is Tony Vitello. And I would absolutely call him. I know a lot of state fans like, he'd never come. I'm making the call at least. I'm going to at least talk to him and tell him I want to do that. There's two issues. One, I don't think he would leave. He's already got the program in place in Tennessee. Why leave? Why leave? But two, in a non-revenue sport in this era where $20 million has got to come right off the top, I don't know if schools are going to invest that much into baseball. I don't know if you're going to. I don't know what Vitello makes right now, but let's just say you got to pay him $2 million a year. I don't know if schools are going to be willing to do that. I don't know if Mississippi State would be willing to do that. But I would absolutely call him. I would at least see what I could do. One of these guys. So this guy, this is one of our listeners, Ed in Columbus, not a fan of mine, but he says I did a good show tonight. Also says he agrees with me on Lemonis that it has turned the program into Indiana baseball. State baseball right now is not Mississippi. This is not Mississippi State baseball we've been watching these past few years. It just isn't. When the up year is a two seed and somebody else's regional. By the way, I think we're going to look back in a few years and realize last year's team underachieved really badly. You had two of your starting pitchers were top 50 picks. Dakota Jordan was an All-American. Hines was an All-SEC kind of guy coming into the season. Connor Hyzak had a fantastic year. Mershon was outstanding. He was an All-SEC guy. You had a lot of talent last year. They should have hosted, but they didn't because they lost so many non-conference games that it made it impossible to host. So somebody says if football has a losing record, Lebby has to go just like Lemonis in baseball. I mean, what an apples to oranges comparison that is. Lebby in his second year at a team that is traditionally not a great football program versus Lemonis in his seventh year at a historically good baseball program. The other side of that coin is this, by the way. If Lebby went 2-10 again this year, I would absolutely let him go. If he starts out his career 4-20, 0-16 in the conference, there's no coming back from that. Get him gone. 100%. So either side of that coin, I'm going to disagree with you. Because I know you're trying to get me to say you shouldn't fire him. Let him go 2-10 again. I'll be helping him pack. Can't have that. Cannot have that. So a lot of fun tonight. Appreciate you guys texting in and joining me here this evening. Also want to give a shout-out to a lot of you folks. If you've kept up on Twitter, I don't want to go too deep into it. I've had some stuff going on in my outside of the radio world. I appreciate all the thoughts and prayers that have come my way over the past few days. I will just say if you're aware of what's going on with me, things are going in a positive direction. And we'll just say it like that. And shouldn't be any more issues going forward. So podcast, radio, I should be here for all of that going forward. But I appreciate everybody who's been kind enough to reach out to me over the past few days. Tomorrow, Super Talk will be in West Point, Mississippi, be in my backyard kind of, as we are every year for Sally Kate Winners and their annual all-day remote with us, bringing awareness to the great work being done there at Sally Kate. So mornings with Richard Cross. If you want to listen to that, apparently he's making policy. I didn't hear it. I didn't know that. I didn't know he had that kind of power. I would have gotten to pass some laws for me. But he'll be there. Middays with Gerard. Rebecca Turner, good things with Rebecca Turner, and we will wrap things up with Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow, live from Sally Kate Winters in West Point, Mississippi. And then on Friday, Borky and I will be in Saltillo to see our friends at Scruggs. Are they going to finally let us do a show from the tractor? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm hopeful to find out. So Sports Talk Mississippi on the road tomorrow and Friday, as we'll be in West Point and in Saltillo. It's Saltillo. It's technically Saltillo. The mailing address is Saltillo. I know it's in Tupelo. So. All right. Appreciate Rhino down there in Studio X. Appreciate all of you guys who listened in and interacted with us tonight on the C Spire text line. Appreciate everybody who listened as well. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.